Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Here's a question that often comes up among believers or professing believers, and that would be, is God faithful to save us if we aren't faithful to Him? That is, if we deny Him. Well, let's ask ourselves that question together, and let's read together what the scripture says. In fact, one man wrote to me, and he said, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. Now, he sent me that verse, and he told on himself when he sent that verse, because he had never really looked at it from a Bible perspective and looked at it honestly. Because see, the once saved, always saved false teachers, anybody teaching that heresy is a child of the devil. If that isn't a doctrine of devils, there's no such thing as a doctrine of devils, or use the term doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy 4:1, this is the first doctrine of Satan, this eternal security, this once saved, always saved, this perseverance of the saint, heresy, or once in grace, always in grace. None of those phrases or words appear in Scripture as a doctrine of God. In fact, it's exposed as a doctrine of devils. Satan told men and the woman that if they disobeyed God, they would not surely die or be separated from Him. But God had already told the man and the woman that if they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. And God kept His word because He's holy, holy, holy. And the wages of sin is death, or separation from God. Now remember, Adam and Eve were in perfect communion with God. Absolutely perfect communion with God. And what spoiled it? Just one sin spoiled that, and they were vanquished and kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Most of these people have no idea, in their blindness, that they're teaching Satan's first doctrine when they perpetrate this heresy of eternal security. And this is one man who is one of them. He's trying to get it to say that God will never deny us. But let's go ahead and read the passage here. It's 2 Timothy 2:11-13. The Apostle Paul, under the divine inspiration of the Holy Ghost, says this: it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. Now, in that verse and many others, we see the necessity of the crucified life. If we be dead with Him, Romans 6, are you truly dead and buried with Christ? If you are, you're going to have eternal life with Him. Is the cross in your life essential? We just found out from the Bible that it is. Because He just said, if we be dead with Christ, we shall also live or have life with Him. Otherwise, we're living in sin, because you can't overcome sin outside of the crucified life. Many of us have tried that. It doesn't work. And this is a message that's almost completely absent from the modern gospel. It is absent. And you're going to find very few preaching it. And it's an essential gospel, original gospel message. Jesus said if we're going to follow Him, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. We must be crucified with Him, as Paul put it, Galatians 2:20, etc. We have a cross category. It's daily-cross. SafeguardYourSoul.com/daily-cross. Or on the desktop version, go to the right side of any page on SafeguardYourSoul.com. There's a drop-down menu. Click the little arrow, down arrow, and just hit D, and it'll come right up, daily cross. It's all the categories are alphabetically listed. Verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. We got to suffer the death of self so that Christ is reigning in our lives. And when he's reigning in our lives, we're overcoming that which separates us from him. And that's the reason why he came to die, to wash away all those sins, and not to give us a license to go back into the sins that he died to save us from. You're not going to be with him eternally if that's the case. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. There's the death, burial, and resurrection again in verse 12 here of 2 Timothy 2. Suffering the death and burial of self so that we also reign as the resurrection with him now and in eternity. Now notice this, verse 12, the last part of it. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Let me read that again, because like this guy who wrote to me, many don't know what this passage actually says. I'm reading it right out of the King James Bible, and that's what I want you to do. The last part of 2 Timothy 2:12. If, that means it's possible, we deny him, he also will deny us. That's a wake-up call for some people that are listening to this message, have been deceived by this lie that you're eternally secure. You don't have anything to worry about. What does that do? It's going to do in you, it's a curse, and it's going to do in you, because it's a lie, exactly what it did in Adam and Eve, and it removed the fear of God. And so they took God for granted, disobeyed him, they sinned against him, and were kicked out of his presence. That's what happened to Lucifer and a third of the angels, and many characters, some of which Jude, the book of Jude, one chapter, goes through a lineage or a litany citing Satan and his angels and many other humans who were once right with God and then fell away. Notice verse 13, the next verse. If we believe not, we become unbelievers. Jesus said, you can believe for a while and in a time of temptation, fall away. Luke 8:13. So it's a believer who stopped believing. He didn't endure to the end, and therefore he fell away, and he's going to die and go to hell if he doesn't repent and come back to Christ. So Paul says, if we believe not, he's talking to the church, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. It did not say he cannot deny you. He just told you in the words just before this verse, verse 12, if we deny him, he also will deny us. Are there any questions now that we read the naked truth of the Word of God here on this matter of whether or not God would deny any of his own children? He sure will. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Does the Bible speak about this in other places? It sure does. Notice 2 Chronicles 15, verse 2. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if, notice the word if, that means it's possible. If ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Let me read it again. But if ye forsake him, he's talking to his own people. If ye forsake him, he also will forsake you. Now, if you still believe once saved, always saved, and we're just getting started, you are a very deceitful individual, a very dishonest individual. There's much more. We've got a book called Lie of the Ages. It's a 730-page blockbuster. It's a life changer, and you will probably see a lot of scripture now you've maybe never seen before, or your attention at least was never drawn to it for what it actually says. And we're learning already in this message how deceptive Satan is through the false seminarian frauds that are teaching in the pulpits of America and the Western world. Notice Luke 12, 8 and 9. Jesus says, and I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But, in contrast, he that denieth, there's that word again. The question in this message is whether or not God would deny one of his own, or somebody that was once his own. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Now, somebody's lying, and it's not God. Let God be true, his word, and every man a liar. Also, we see in Romans 11, 20 through 22, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, that is, the Jews. And he's talking to the Gentiles about the Jews here. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. We're commanded to fear the Lord. For if God spared not the natural branches, that's the Jews, he didn't even spare Adam and Eve, did he? Other than coming back and making redemption possible for them, they still had to choose. So for if God spared not the natural branches, the Jews, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, that is, God's own people, when they fell, they were severely judged. In one place, number 16, they went straight into hell. The ground opened up and they went straight into hell. Verse 22, Romans 11, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. So many people just want to behold the goodness of God, peace, unity, love, joy, but not the severity of God. And that would include and come from the severe warnings and hard sayings, we call them, of the Holy Scriptures. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. Now, when you read the Bible, are you just cherry-picking little promises that you're misusing and ignoring the context and just trying to use God to get what you want? You haven't truly repented yet. When you repent, you're like on your face before God, or you got your hands up and say, Lord, take all of me. I am dead, and my life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Is that your prayer? Are you praying the word, or are you being led astray by false teachers and by your own unrepentant, deceitful, darkened heart to just try to use God to get you out of hell? Don't you know he sees right through that? God sees the very intent of our hearts. The eyes of the Lord, the scripture says, are in every place beholding the evil and the good. We see in scripture where he can discern the very intents of our heart, the intentions and the motives. You can't fool God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh out of a corrupted, unrepentant heart, you're going to reap corruption, eternal damnation. But if you sow to the Spirit, you walk into crucified life in the Holy Ghost, Romans 8, you're led of the Spirit, you're a child of God, you're going to reap life everlasting. You're either walking in the flesh or in the Spirit. If you're always sinning, you don't have the cross in your life. God's calling you to repent, deny yourself, lay down your life in this world, this fleeting world. Lose your life, abandon it to Christ, let him fill and propel you in his victory and fruit bearing until you're with him, enduring to the end. Any other gospel than this gospel that we get straight from Scripture, that you have to endure to the end, and you're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. Matthew 10:22 and 24:13. People that aren't preaching the whole gospel and telling you that because you said a prayer one time and were saved, that that's all the responsibility you really have and everything else is just optional. That's what they make you feel like by the refusal to preach verses like the ones I'm mentioning. And how about 2 Corinthians 7:1? Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, all sin, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. They're not even preaching holiness, and that God is holy, 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 that he will not coexist with anyone who has sin in their life, much less teaching that we are to perfect holiness, as we just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Here's another one. You'll never hear frauds preach. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, in all of your life, every action, thought, word, and deed. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, when's the last time your supposedly godly pastor preached on that? I can tell you, if 100 of you listening are sitting under pastors, probably less than 5 of them have ever mentioned these verses. And they don't intend, the false ones don't intend to ever mention them. Why? They're out to build a church business. They're not out, like Paul and the apostles, to see that you are in eternal glory. In fact, Paul said Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but one that is holy, and notice this, without blemish, no sin. Wait a minute, brother, you can be sinless? Well, let me ask you a question against that question. If you got any sin in your life, whose fault is it? God's or yours? It's your fault. Why? Because you haven't repented, returned to him, and confessed it. So if he says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, to you, it's your fault. God is a just God. How many sins did it take Adam and Eve to get kicked out of God's presence in the Garden of Eden when there was no sin until they sinned? Just one. So through these scriptures, this is just a sample of how Paul was preparing the church to meet Jesus. How many elders in the body of Christ do you know that you sit under who are preparing you with the raw naked truth of the original gospel, the word of God, for the return of Jesus? Paul said, Colossians 1:28, that he did three things to prepare the body of Christ to meet the Lord. Preach, warn, teach. PWT. Preach, warn, teach. And gentlemen that are called to preach, all of you, all gentlemen of God, that will preach. PWT, preach, warn, teach. Preach, warn, 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 teach. A lot of preaching and teaching, very little warning. Preach, warn, teach. Colossians 1:28. Go lock it in, pour over it, underline it, memorize it. Here's the Apostle Peter. Now we see Jesus saying things like, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. Luke 12:40. We've already been over several of Paul's passages, and it's just a sampling, by the way, of Paul preparing and warning the church to have all sin out of their life, to walk holy as he is holy. In fact, Hebrews 12:14, speaking of Paul, says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. How about Peter, 2 Peter 3, speaking of the last days before Christ comes, nuclear wars coming and everything else, mockers. We're in that day, man. We are in that day. Notice 2 Peter 3, 12 through 14. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Some would say that sounds like nuclear war. I can't disagree. Verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Paul said we are setting our affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. There's a new heaven coming and a new earth, beloved, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And that's where King Jesus and his disciples are going to be. Verse 14, therefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. I'm sorry. Let me read that again. No, I'm not sorry. Let me read that again. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, that is the new heaven and the new earth, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace. The only way you can be found in Christ in peace instead of separation and sin is being holy as he is holy. Be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Notice, blameless, nothing that hasn't been confessed. You're living in vital union with Christ. So the question is, would God ever deny one of his own people? And the scriptures tell us a resounding yes. He would deny us if we don't behold and obey him and behold his goodness and severity and walk in the fear of the Lord. If we forsake him, 2 Chronicles 15:2, he is going to forsake us. Oh, but brother, I'm eternally secure. Basically, they're saying, I'm God's little pet disciple. First of all, you're not even a disciple if you believe the lie of once saved, always saved. You need to get saved is what you need. And God almost killed Moses. I believe it's Exodus 4. God killed thousands of his own people and sent them straight into hell from where they will never escape. So who do you think you are? I can tell you who you are. You're an arrogant counterfeit is what you are, full of pride and self-love, and you only cloak yourself under and behind this facade, this fake doctrine or this lie of once saved, always saved, because you don't want to die. Just admit it if you're going to be honest. You don't want to lay down your life in repentance, go on a fast, and live the rest of your life crucified with Christ. That's what you don't want. And so you want to be self-deceived, having created another Jesus, a false gospel, another gospel that you're walking in, and you're going to walk right off the cliff into eternal damnation. You're going straight to hell. Also, Jesus, Luke 12:8 and 9 says, he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. So can God and will God deny his own? Yes, he will. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Quote unquote, 2 Timothy 2:12. If we deny him, what's he going to do? He's going to deny us. Couldn't be any clearer. So, if you leave the Lord, he's leaving you. Let's get a clue, saints. You are personally responsible to be saved and to abide, to continue, to endure to the end in order to be rooted, to remain rooted and grounded in Christ. You have to live the rest of your life by faith. If you don't like it, it's because you just don't like Jesus, much less love him, even though you might claim to be saved by him. You could care less about what he said from A to Z. That's why you don't bother studying to show yourself approved unto God, because you don't want this little fairy tale crumbling by the truth. And God sees your deceitful heart because you love sin. You love your darkness rather than light because your deeds are evil and you refuse to repent. John 3:19-21. You're going to be cast into the fire, Jesus said, after had him save you and not enduring to the end. John 15:6. If you don't continue with him to the end, he's going to throw you into the fires of eternal damnation. Notice what he says here. And he's speaking to those that are in him in this passage. If a man abide or continue not with me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You're going to go to hell and burn forever if you've been saved and yet are not continuing and enduring to the end. Somebody might say, wait a minute, brother. This is the favorite little whiner passage of the little eternal security cowards. That's what you are. Revelation 21:8 calls you out as a coward. That's the first class of sinner that's going into the lake of fire. He says they're fearful. They're timid and cowardly. They refuse to put their foot down and surrender their life completely to Christ, and they're going to go to hell. Notice John 10:27-29. Notice they'll read you verse 28 and 29, won't they? Yeah, but they don't even know what 27 says because they've been dragged around by the nose by these false teachers to try to isolate the promises of verse 28 and 29, but they ignore the condition. God's blessings are conditional, not unconditional. God says, behold, to his own people, that's us, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life that you may live. Choose life. You have choice, not just one time. Getting saved is the initial salvation. Final salvation is when you're with Jesus. And remember, friends, we are King's kids, but we're not home yet. Jesus is speaking in John chapter 10, verse 27 through 29. My sheep, who, what, why, when, and where. Who is Jesus addressing and talking about? His sheep. My sheep. What about them? Hear my voice, and I know them. A lot of people claim they know Jesus, but does Jesus claim to know them? He told us in Matthew 7:21, many, not a few, many professors, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, and yet he's going to say to them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Notice, you're a worker of iniquity. You haven't overcome sin because you refuse to truly repent and take up the cross, as Jesus said you must do, and live a crucified life. The only answer to sin is the cross. Christ's cross, and then the cross he commanded you to take up. See, when you're crucified with Christ, you're not going to have energy because you're going to be crucified and filled with the Spirit of God and raised up in the victory of he who is the resurrection and the life, Jesus Christ. So you're not going to be living in sin. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So far we see that his sheep are those that hear his voice. They hear his word and are led by his Spirit. And God knows them. And they do what? They follow me. That's continual tense. So is hear my voice. It's not way back in the past. Oh, I heard his voice and I answered and I'm saved, so that's all I have to do. I go to church on Sunday. That's good. No, you're not following Jesus. You're not hearing his voice presently. Therefore, you've denied him and he's going to deny you. He's going to cut you off. Romans 11:22. And they follow me. That's the condition. Then he tells them that are hearing his voice and following him, abiding, remaining, continuing in him, enduring to the end. It's all over the New Testament and the Old. He tells them, and I give unto them eternal life. Wait, who's he giving eternal life to? The sheep that hear his voice, his sheep, and they follow him. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Why? Because they're hearing his voice, they're following him, and he's keeping them safe. Verse 29, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, who is them? My sheep who hear my voice, and they are following me. If you're not following Jesus, verse 27, the promises of verse 28 and 29 are not for you. You are personally accountable to God to be saved initially, and then to abide, to continue, to endure to the end, to be remain rooted and grounded in Christ, which the Bible, the Lord commands. If not, you will be cast into the fires of hell. Every person peddling the once saved, always saved, eternal security heresy is incontrovertibly an ungodly man and an agent of Satan himself, as we've already reviewed in the book of Genesis. Notice in the book of Jude, the Bible warns us to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints of Christ. That's why we have a Bible. That is the faith of God, the doctrines of Scripture, the doctrines of the Lord. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write. Common salvation merely means the only way to be saved is through Christ. He's the one that's common to our salvation and makes us one body in Him. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. That's what we're doing right here. We're earnestly contending for the faith, which was once delivered to the saints. For there are certain men, that not there might be, but there are definitely certain men crept in unawares, undetected, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. How do we know that? Let's keep reading. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, or a license for sin. And by doing so, quote, here it is, the rest of the verse, they're denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. So anybody who's teaching eternal security or the doctrines of Calvinism, these are all just antichrist heresies that are denying that sin will separate you from God. They are rejecting the cross of Christ. They don't want to deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow Jesus. So what they're doing is they're justifying their sins. This is sin-justifying heresies. That's why he says they're turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, or license for sin, by not teaching the things that I've been teaching in this message that aren't mine. They're God's. They're straight out of his word, and there's much more of the same throughout his word. So by not teaching the original gospel, that alone, much less telling people that they're eternally secure, is being done by ungodly men. That isn't my wording. That's God's wording. Jude verse 3 and 4 here. Ungodly men are turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, or license to sin. And by doing so, they're denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. By denying what he said, by denying his word, they are denying him. 2 Peter 2, 20 and 21, again, one of the apostles of Christ warning us about sin and how God is holy, 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 and anyone that has sin in their life is separated from God. 2 Peter 2, 20 and 21, and if after, notice the word after, they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that could only be the born again knowledge, because you can't escape sin, the pollutions of the world, without being born again. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again, Jude talked about being twice dead and plucked up by the roots. You were born dead or separated from God. Then you got saved and now you backslid. You're twice dead, Jude speaks about. They are again, after being saved, entangled therein in the sins of the world and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. So not only are they those that got saved and then did not continue with Christ, not only are they not going to heaven, it's going to be worse in hell than if they had never known the Lord. The Lord never claimed salvation can't be lost. Jesus never said that. Quite to the contrary, he said it can be lost or forfeited. The Son, he said, abideth or remains forever, not the sheep who stray, who rebel and do not abide or remain in the Son, who are committing sin instead of being made free by obeying Christ. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 6, 7, he that is dead or crucified with Christ is free from sin. That's the only way to get free from sin. You got saved? Good. Stay saved. repent afresh. Let God refresh you. Deny yourself. Lay down your life. Take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. Or as sure as you're hearing my voice, you're going straight to hell and you will never escape. When a million years has transpired from Earth's time clock, not 1 second will have expired from eternity's time clock. So this passage in 2 Peter that we just read makes it clear that God requires those he saves to continue in his word, John 8, in order to be made free, to continue obeying him. And as they do, they will be made free from living in sin. To the contrary, those who, after being saved, do not continue in an abiding relationship with Jesus will become the servants of sin and will not abide in the Lord's house or in his family, in his kingdom. Check it out, John 8:34-38. So Jesus Christ is God Almighty, and his place with the Father in the Father's house is fixed. It's unalterable. It's unchanging, but yours isn't. And that's what Jesus meant when he talked about the Son abideth or remains forever. He didn't say you remain abide. You have a responsibility to continue to the end. Anybody who says you don't have to endure to the end to be saved is calling Jesus Christ a liar and is an antichrist. Eternal security is a lie from hell. Once saved, always saved was Satan's first lie, and so it's blasphemy to teach this false doctrine of devils and claim it's part of the gospel. Unbelievable. That is absolutely blasphemous. You are attributing Satan's lie to the precious, holy Lord Jesus Christ. Repent now, sinner. You are a false teacher. The concept of an unconditional eternal security is not established anywhere in Scripture, other than being taught by Satan in the Garden of Eden and the false teachers throughout the ages, including now. Example is going to be Jude verse 3 and 4. Jeremiah 23:17 is another one. Jeremiah the prophet calls out these false prophets who were telling people that they had eternal security and peace with God even while they were living in sin. Unreal. Jeremiah 23:17. Those who don't continue with Christ on his terms, on his stated biblical terms, will be cut off and cast into the fires of hell, as we've already seen from Scripture. Those who foolishly espouse the myth of eternal security do so because they worship self, not the Savior. Their God and their false Christ is basically themselves. They cater their theology around self and self not having to change or repent or be holy as God is holy, etc. Their heretical theology is built around what caters to them and their sin and not to Christ, who is holy, 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 according to Isaiah 6:3 and Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. They've made a phony, fake God in their own evil image and are hellbound idolaters. Most notably, out of John 8, verse 31, when many had believed on Jesus, he said, he didn't turn around and tell them, you're eternally secure like the false teachers tell them. Oh, no. He said, he warned them, you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Otherwise, you're going to fall away. Jesus doesn't tell these new believers that they are eternally secure or once saved, always saved. No such language appears in Scripture. The Son of God informs them only that only if they continue in his word will they be confirmed as his true disciples, his true followers, and his truth will make them free. Justification is immediate and must be followed up with corresponding obedience in a walk of faith, or such a person will fall back into sin and fall away. Those who do not continue with Christ after he saves them will not remain in his house, according to John 8:30-31. They will be slaves to sin and not friends or the bride of the Savior. Notice what Paul told people after they got saved. Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue. There's that word that haunts all counterfeits. They don't want anything to do with personal responsibility. That's why they hide behind the false doctrine of eternal security. It says of Paul confirming that he was confirming the souls. People had just got saved, and exhorting them, or telling them that they were once saved, always saved. Nope. And exhorting them to continue in the faith. You got to endure to the end. That's what Jesus said. You don't like it, it's because you hate Jesus. exhorting them to continue in the faith. That's what abide means. Abide in vital union with Christ to the end of your life. And that we must, through much tribulation, he warned them, enter into the kingdom of God. This is Acts 14:22. Salvation, your place with the Lord, is not an automatically fixed position. God never removes free will from his people. Love is always volitional. Let's check out, as we come in for a landing, Colossians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Notice, in the body of his flesh, through death, Jesus, that is, who gave himself for us. He gave himself for us on the cross. Why? To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not be moved, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, somebody might say, oh yeah, I'm automatically totally clear. God sees me through the eyes of the blood of Jesus, and all sin or any sin I commit can't change that. Well, you are a pawn of the devil. You are a gullible dupe to believe that. So you're living in fornication after being saved, or any sin, especially those listed as soul-damning sins, Galatians 5:19 through 21, Revelation 21:8, etc., and you still believe you're going to be in heaven? You're fooling no one but yourself. Notice what 1 John 1:7 says, but if the two-letter nightmare to counterfeits, if we walk in the light, that's a continual tense to the end of your life, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's fellowship with God the Father and the Son. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So in order to have your sins, after you're saved, washed away, you've got to walk in the light as he is in the light. And it's only then, that's a condition, that your sins are going to be washed away, because you're going to confess those sins. Notice, it's only if we confess our sins, verse 9, same chapter, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1, verse 7 and verse 9. And notice again, we walk in the Word, we abide with Christ on his stated terms, and we are receiving the washing of water by the Word, and God's doing this that he might present it, that is his bride, a glorious church. What does his bride look like? His true bride, the remnant, the very remnant, the small residue among the many who claim to be saved. This is the bride he's going to present to himself, a glorious church, not having spot, no spot of sin, not one, or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy. And here it is again, as if that wasn't enough, and without blemish, without the blemish of sin. Now, I want to encourage every one of you to read 1 John chapter 3. Put your seatbelt on. That right there is a chapter that's going to be very riveting to you. Now, as you read it, you're going to want to take it in context with chapter 1 and 2 also. And the balance is going to come. God's going to help you understand the picture of his doctrine and truth as he synthesizes everything together for you and teaches you the ways of the Lord, as we've been learning in this message. And it's a different message than virtually all the messages you're hearing from fake pulpits and fake churches and fake fraud pastors out there today. That's regrettable, but it's true. Let's pray together, friends. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you admitting that we have sinned against you. We have not sought your face as we should. We have walked in pride, in darkness, in rebellion, in self-idolatry, and spiritual adultery. We have not upheld you as first love. We return now, Lord, in repentance, and we ask you to refresh us, to wash us clean by your precious blood, Jesus, and make us new. Lord, create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Break us to the core of our being. Lord, into your hands we commend, we submit our spirit here and now. We say, Lord Jesus, have your way in me, O God. Not my will, but thine be done, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.